Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call on the Q1 results of 2017. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push button phone. Now I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Huizing. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to this 45-minute conference call on the first quarter results that we published earlier this morning. I'm sitting here with Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, Chief Financial Officer and member of the DSM Managing Board, and Mr. Jos Ophheij, Senior Vice President Group Controller. They will elaborate on the results and after that answer your questions. As a reminder, I'm obliged to remind you that today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to direct you to the disclaimers about forward-looking statements as published in the press release. With that being said, I hand over to Geraldine. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Dave. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this call on DSM's Q1 2017 results. Before we get started with the Q&A session, I would like to walk you through some of the key slides on our investor presentation that we published this morning together with the press release, and you can find both either on our website or on our investor relation app. Now, let me start with the highlights on slide two. As you can see from this page, we've had a very good start to the year. All businesses delivered strong growth, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA increase of 17% to 345 million and an improved ROCE of 11.3%. This was achieved on the back of the nutrition business continuing to deliver on its growth ambitions and the materials business demonstrating once again the success of its focus on specialties. Given our continued focus on driving financial performance, I'm pleased to also report that cash from operating activities was up 43% to 196 million and that the net profit increased significantly, up 75%. In parallel, we continue to manage the business for the longer term by pursuing innovation-driven growth. Finally, regarding the outlook for 2017, despite the current global socioeconomic volatility, we are confident that we will be able to deliver against the full-year objectives given our focus on our growth initiatives and our extensive profit improvement programs. Thereby maintaining our outlook as stated, DSM aims to deliver high single-digit percentage adjusted EBITDA growth and high double-digit basis point ROCE growth in line with our targets set out in the Strategy 2018. Now, moving to a few specific comments, let's go to slide eight for nutrition. As you can see, nutrition continued to deliver on its growth ambitions. Sales increased 12%, driven predominantly by organic growth, with both animal and human nutrition showing good volume progression, although it has to be said that it was partly helped by the timing of orders, which I will come back on in a second. The adjusted EBITDA for nutrition was up 14%, resulting from this good organic growth, our profit improvement programs, as well as foreign exchange, with a positive effect coming from the stronger US dollar and Brazilian real, partly offset by the stronger Swiss franc. The margin increased to 18.4% for the quarter. Now, moving specifically to animal nutrition, let's go to page nine. Animal nutrition sales were up 18% this quarter, driven by an organic growth of 12%. Overall market conditions were robust, and most regions contributed to the good volume growth. In addition, prices were up in several vitamins and premixes. Regarding the volume growth, I would like to highlight here that Latin America, where markets remained weak, we benefited nonetheless from low comparable reporting periods versus Q1 2016, when volumes were impacted by the pre-buying in Q4 2015. Normalized for this effect, the volume growth for the quarter would have been around 4%-5%. Also, regarding Latin America, it's worth mentioning that the Brazilian meat scandal, which started mid-March, did not impact the results in the first quarter but will have some effect in Q2. Now, moving to page 10 on human nutrition. As indicated in this graph, human nutrition retained a positive growth momentum. It has regained over several quarters, posting revenues up 10% compared to Q1 2016. This positive momentum came predominantly from a 7% volume growth, supported by a favorable foreign exchange effect. In Q1, volume growth was partly helped by additional vitamin C sales that could not be delivered in Q4 2016 following our maintenance shutdown. Normalized for this effect, volume growth for the quarter would have been around 5%, which remains very good. Finally, we saw in the quarter slightly lower prices on average, mainly related to the lower contractual prices in infant nutrition and product mix. Now for our materials business, let's move to page 12. Our materials business demonstrated again this quarter the success of its focus on specialties, reporting an exceptionally high volume growth of 11%. This growth was driven by strong demand in specialty materials in our resins, engineering plastics, and Dyneema businesses, as well as some stocking effects in part of the value chain. Please let me also remind you that this quarter we benefited from low comparative figures in Q1 2016, where we had a weaker growth, but nonetheless Q1 remains a good quarter. The pricing developments, up 3%, relate mainly to the higher input costs, although these higher input costs were only partially reflected in our customer pricing during the quarter. This strong organic growth of 14%, combined with a slightly positive foreign exchange effect, resulted in an adjusted EBITDA up 19% versus Q1 2016 and an adjusted EBITDA margin of 16.1%. Now, moving briefly to our cash generation, let's turn to page 17. Our continued focus on improving our financial performance resulted in another good quarter, with our operating cash flow improving to 196 million, up 43%. Average total working capital as a percentage of sales increased somewhat to 19% compared to Q1 2016, mainly driven by lower average non-operating liabilities. If we look at the operating working capital, it continued to progress in the right direction at 24.0% of sales, compared to 24.4% in Q1 2016. And with this, I would like to open the floor for questions. Operator?
First question, Neil Tyler from Redburn. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you. A couple of quick questions on the cash flow, please, and then one on human nutrition. Firstly, the M&A that is booked through the cash flow in the first quarter, the only acquisition I can find mention of in your press releases was Sunshine Technology in February. Is that the amount that relates to that? First question. Second one, can you remind me what the impact you anticipate this year of the FX hedging unwind in the cash flow? And the third question on human nutrition, volume trends in infant nutrition. It doesn't seem to be that the channel disruption in that market has impacted your volumes there, but I wonder if you could just give us a quick update on what you're seeing and what your thoughts are around that. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, Neil. Thank you for your questions. Now, indeed, in our cash flow, you see there an outflow on acquisitions of 45, if I'm not mistaken. Now, it's actually the combination of three pieces. There is indeed the solar acquisition, so we acquired a technology platform. And you will see in the notes at the very back of the press release all the details about that, but that's only a portion, 17-18. We also, in the period, acquired a probiotic set of brands. It's linked to our iHealth business, so it comes to complement our B2C. So that's another transaction that we did. And finally, we increased our shareholding in Japan Fine Chemical, which is in our resins business. That was about 10. So that's how it's made up, the 45. But if you want to see the details on Sunshine, it's actually at the back of the press release and the notes to the financial statements. So that's to the question on acquisition outflows. Now, in terms of the FX for the period, what we're seeing is overall from a balance sheet point of view, there isn't a big unwinding. So the FX benefit this quarter was somewhat above 10 million, primarily US dollar and Brazilian real being stronger, being helpful, but as you know, also netted off by the stronger Swiss franc. Now, what we're doing is we are normally hedge, you know, we haven't changed our hedging policy, so the usual sensitivities apply around that. So if I take today's exchange rates and we look at what it could look for the full year, we'll be looking at maybe a positive of 20 to 25 million. But I would here really highlight the fact that we're seeing a lot of volatility on currency, so difficult to really pin down that number. And then on human nutrition, what we're seeing is pretty much a good quarter across the board. In terms of food and beverage, we saw quite a robust set of sales there. Premix is definitely doing well. On dietary supplements, in North America in particular, we're seeing there that a bit of an uptick, which is nice to see. As you know, this is an area that we have had a little bit of trouble at times, but we're seeing multivitamins, but also omega-3 doing better, so that is good. Eye health continues to be strong in dietary supplements, so the only area that I would say is stable is infant nutrition on the quarter. That remains, it's not bad, but it's stable rather than up. But I'm not sure I fully got your question on H&H, so I hope this addresses your question.
No, that's fine. Sorry, I might not have been clear. I was specifically asking about the infant nutrition business, and the in the previous couple of updates you've mentioned or referred to the comments made by your customers about channel disruption and volumes there, and I wondered if any of that has fed through yet, but you mentioned that that's still stable. So.
That is stable indeed, and yes, to your point, what we were commenting in prior quarters is the change in regulations in China. That will be effective from January 2018. Now, that will lead to a bit of a rationalization of the players in that space. We think it's overall a good thing for the sector, but could do indeed a bit of disruption in terms of the you know, players that may not be able to stay in, for example, selling off some of their stock. At this stage, we're not really seeing much of that happening, but it could still be the case.
Okay, very useful. Thank you.
Next question, Mutlu Gundogan from ABN AMRO. Go ahead, please.
Three questions. First on materials, very high volume growth at 11%. Do you know what part of that was restocking and when you expect that to normalize? The second question is on your guidance. Obviously, your EBITDA is up significantly in the first quarter, up 17% year-on-year. But you still continue to guide for high single-digit growth. Can you tell us what is driving that conservatism, so to say, in your guidance? And then thirdly, on the associates, just wondering why you haven't sold down your stake in Patheon.
Okay, good morning, Mudlu. So indeed, 11% volume growth in materials is clearly on the high side, and we even term it exceptionally high. Now, it's a combination of good dynamics on our specialties, which is great, but as well the easy comps. And the third element is that we believe there's some restocking in parts of the value chain. Now, the problem with that is it's famously difficult to actually quantify exactly how much that is. So it's very difficult to give a normalized version. Now, having said that, if you look back at our run rates for our businesses in the last few quarters, we are more on a growth trend of around 5%. So what we would expect is that we will trend back towards this type of volume growth. So I would certainly not extrapolate 11% going forward. But, yeah, the restocking is a difficult one to quantify on its own. Now, when it comes to the outlook, fully agree, good start to the year, but as I try to put in my opening comments, we are aware that in Q1, you know, we have very much a favorable situation in terms of the comps. We also know that in terms of the vitamin prices, we've had an overall benefit for the quarter, which we don't expect to continue through the year. And therefore, we have to remain cautious. So at this stage, good quarter, first quarter, but let's see how it unwinds. Clearly, the comps will become harder as we go through the year. So it's really too early to adjust the outlook. And in terms of the associates, now, as we said very clearly, the direction is that we want to monetize the associates, but it's very clear that we are more interested in value than in the speed at which we get that done. So for us, we will continue to be looking towards doing that, and in particular, of course, Patheon, now post-IPO last year. But our ambition is very much to get the most value, and we're very confident and very positive about this business. So we will see when is the best time to monetize.
That's very clear, Geraldine. Thank you.
Next question, Sebastian Bray from Berenberg. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I would have two or three, please. The first, just getting back to the question on guidance upgrades, or just basically staying the same at this stage. Could you please let us know if there are any facility maintenance or shutdowns with an impact beyond the about 15 million euro that you had last year coming in H2 of this year? Could you also please give an overview of the drivers of about 5% underlying volume growth in human nutrition? Is this what to expect for this sort of market going forward? Has the U.S. improved to this extent? And finally, could you give me a quick reminder of what your guidance is for profitability in the Innovation Center, and to what extent do you expect the EBITDA in this area to improve in coming quarters? Thank you.
Good morning, Sebastian. Thank you for your questions. Indeed, so as answered previously on the outlook, so your question is specifically on shutdowns in H2. To my knowledge, there is nothing particularly sizable that we are forecasting for the year, but I would maybe take a check on that one. Of course, this is part of our business and running the business. I would have to check with our ops people whether there's something worth mentioning. Having said that, it would not impact our full year guidance. But, you know, if you're trying to look at your phasing, then I would need to double check. Now, as you know, we don't run the company quarter by quarter, so for us, the outlook remains unchanged. Now, H&H indeed normalized. So as I mentioned in my opening comments, there's a bit of a timing difference on the vitamin C sales this quarter. So normalized, we're looking more at 5%. Now, as you know, the underlying market growth in our H&H business is really 2 to 3%, and we aim to grow above that, so 3 to 4%. So at 5%, we're very happy with that level of growth. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are several parts that are doing well. So food and beverage has done well, which is great. We're seeing dietary supplements a bit firmer, particularly in North America, which is helpful, and infant, which is stable and solid. So we would see a positive volume growth to be supporting our outlook and us delivering on our targets for this year. And then on innovation, last year we were break-even on innovation. This year we expect to do somewhat better, and we'll see how that develops throughout the year, but we should be doing a bit better than in 2016.
Thank you.
Next question, Stephanie Boatwell, Bank of America. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, and thanks for the presentation. I just had a couple of questions, some of them follow-up. So, firstly, on your animal nutrition business, you said in your opening remarks that the Brazil meat scandal would have some impact on Q2. Are you able to help us quantify that and what the impact could be in the second quarter? My second question was just going back to Neil's on the CapEx guidance. So for the full year, you've guided to up to 550 million in CapEx. Can you help us think about what the additional add-on should be from acquisitions or M&A for the course of the full year? And my final question was just on the materials volume growth that you've seen. You commented on the restocking impact that you've seen over the course of the quarter. Are you able to give us a sense of where you think that customer inventories are currently tracking? Do you think that inventories are currently elevated here or on a more normalized level? Thank you.
Good morning, Stephanie. So yes, indeed, Animal Nutrition Brazil. So as you probably followed, this was the meat scandal started in mid-March and therefore didn't have much an impact on our Q1 results. Now, what we are watching it, of course, carefully. It's such an important part of the Brazilian economy that, of course, they've reacted very fast. But we do believe that there will be some impact, particularly for us on the beef, so on our ruminants business, because we are pretty concentrated on Latin America. And in terms of quantification, although it is very difficult to estimate, depending on how quickly they respond, et cetera, we're thinking at this point about 3% of animal sales. So we're looking at, you know, a top-line impact of maybe 20 million at this stage. Now, it's probably worth mentioning here that when it comes to the poultry part, we have the benefit of having a very global footprint when it comes to poultry. And what we tend to see is when one region has an issue, it gets offset by the other markets' growth being higher. So on the poultry side, we probably would be overall okay, but ruminant is the area that we are keeping a tight look at. So that's Brazil. Now, in terms of our guidance, indeed, we've been guiding to a CapEx of 500 to 550. Now, you may have noticed in our cash flow that we have 130 million outflow in the quarter. That is actually a combination of additions in the quarter plus some payments on creditors during the quarter. So it's a little bit on the high side, but the guidance still seems appropriate for this year, remembering that last year we were at 475, which was a little bit lower, and hence this cutoff effect on the first quarter. And, of course, on acquisition, we never guide on outflow there, and there's nothing to be signaled at this stage. Now, when it comes to materials and the stocking effects, it is extremely difficult to really either quantify the impact for us or really give any comments on the level of inventories within our clients' various value chains. We just believe that part of the 11% volume growth has to do with stocking, but we really can't provide more granularity on that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question, Andrew Stott from UBS. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave. Just a question on Chemica Invest. I mean, I realize it's not a big part of your P&L today, but I'm thinking of ultimately the exit valuation here. If my maths are right, your EBITDA was up 135%. I think incrementally it was about 25 million. But the net income you booked for that 35% equity stake is only up 3 million. So can you just walk me through why, please? Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Indeed, it's good not to forget our other associates. Of course, there's a lot of focus on Patheon, but Chemica is a big business. So maybe the first comment I would make is that it has had a much better quarter, first quarter. We are seeing caprolactam prices coming up, particularly in Asia, but the supply and demand equation is still quite tricky, so we'll have to see whether that maintains itself. Now, the difference between the table where we show the sales and the adjusted EBITDA margin versus our net income, our share of net profit, the difference there is that the company has cumulative losses, and therefore we cannot recognize our share of these net profits until the cumulative losses have been absorbed. Now, if I was to put that aside, we would, for the quarter, have recognized about a $2 million net income from Chemica. So hopefully that helps you bridge between the operational results and what we recognize in our consolidated numbers.
Yeah, that's great. And can I follow up with a separate question, please? We've had sort of various discussions about the famous calendar impact in Q1. Now, you stated 5% underlying, that's in animal and human, obviously, excluding the issues you've referred to. Does that include your estimate of a calendar impact, or do we need to think about that on top of that?
No, that includes. hopefully the text in the press release is sufficiently clear. We've tried to normalize for you the cutoff. As you know, we don't drive the business on a quarterly, but in any quarter you can have some ups and downs. So what we're seeing is that, for instance, on vitamin C and human nutrition, as you remember, we had a shutdown, so we were not able to deliver in Q4 some of the sales, and they came in Q1. But the 5% normalized takes these normalizes these calendar cutoff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks for clarifying. Thanks a lot.
Welcome.
Next question, Laura Lopez Pineda, Baader Bank. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Two questions from my side. In your materials business, you reported that higher input costs were only partially reflected in customer pricing. So does that mean that we can expect higher margins in the second quarter compared to this one, and or year over year? And maybe more looking into the future, how is your stevia project going on? When can we expect commercial production to start, or more information about it? Thanks.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks for your questions. Yeah, indeed, in terms of the lower input costs, it's all about the timing between the input costs coming up and our ability to push it through in pricing. Now, we have been able to push the prices up, but not getting the full benefit over the full quarter. So what we would see is an advantage going forward on the margin. And really, our guidance around that is that we estimate that we should have overall for the year a margin for our materials businesses between 16 and 17%. So that's the trajectory, and it's always a bit of a timing between how fast the input costs come up and how fast we get the benefit of our price adjustments. Now, in terms of stevia, we're making good progress. We've been in conversation with potential clients, a lot of testing going on, and of course we will communicate more broadly at the proper time. Estimates for commercialization remain to be broadly 2018, but we will be more specific at the right point in time.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Next question, Lawrence Alexander of Jefferies. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Jeff Schnell on for Lawrence. If I understood properly, you mentioned nutrition pricing will decline in the back half of the year. Can you elaborate a little on the trend or the dynamic that's at play in the business?
Okay, so here what I was trying to refer to is the overall benefit from, if I take it in aggregate, the favorable pricing environment that we had around vitamins. So this quarter we got the carryover in our contracts of the higher pricing environment last year, and that gave us a benefit of somewhat above 10 million for the quarter. Now, we're also very aware that as we go through the year, this will go the other way. So in Q2, we may get a slight positive, possibly neutral, and then in the second half of the year, probably more of a negative. So on the full year, we're looking probably at something like a wash, a bit of a neutral effect. And that's really what I was referring to, and that is driven primarily by vitamin E.
Thank you.
Next question, Patrick Lambert, Raymond James. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning, Geraldine, Dave. A few questions on my side. First, the 7% volume growth in nutrition as a whole, human and animal, could you comment on the rest of the business? That must have been pretty flattish, personal care and food specialties. A bit of color on the smaller businesses in nutrition. Second question, the 5% price increases in animal. Again, I understand the vitamin E, but that seems pretty high when I look at all the ingredients of premix. If you could comment a bit on the strength of the 5% price, that would be helpful. Third question, very brief, aging. I think on the cash flow statement, are you still expecting 150 million impact from the swaps? When do you have a more precise view on when you're going to have to take that out? And finally, on the restructuring program, I think on Bloomberg you quoted to have added 18 million cost savings in 17. Is that in Q1 17 on the run rate or for the full year? That seems pretty low for the full year. Thanks.
Okay, good morning. So let me take them in the same order as you place your question. So firstly, the volume development in nutrition. Indeed, if you look at the total nutrition, we are at 5%. Now, in there, we've got food specialties. It had a good quarter in enzymes and cultures and in savory, so actually a good development in food specialties. The one area that did have a weaker quarter was hydrocolloids. Now, if you remember, they had a very good run last year, and we just had a slower start to the year this year. And also the contract manufacturing was lower, and this is really the reason why also last year we wanted to provide a better clarity in terms of the different pieces of our nutrition business. So maybe there I would refer you back to our full year press release. But that's really the other pieces of the equation. Now, when it comes to the 5% pricing on animal nutrition, and it is, of course, a complicated picture because we have lots of different ingredients in there, and vitamins are one of them. We highlight that both in terms of premix and ingredients, the mix is now, you know, resulting in this 5%. There isn't a lot more that I can provide you there, and we definitely don't want to go into all the different bits and pieces that make this up. But we are fully, what we are flagging is let's be careful, because as we go through the year, the comparative will be tougher due to the overall pricing environment on vitamins. Now, for derivatives, that is absolutely correct. So, as you know, we have about 170 million of derivatives on the balance sheet, of which about 150 will crystallize in the second half of the year. This is a combination of hedges, more long-term position hedges on our intercompany loan positions, and some net investment hedging. And that will come out in the second half. So the number hasn't changed much, but it is very much driven by the foreign exchange developments. And I have to say, I'm seeing the market being quite volatile there. And fourthly, the programs, indeed, I referred to the 80 million, but that should be no surprise. If you remember, our improvement programs at the end of last year cumulatively had locked in 110 million of gross savings versus the baseline 2014. Now this year we need to continue, and that's actually a very important part of 2017, is to anchor those changes and finish off and really push through these savings. And that will add another 80, but that is entirely in line with what we were showing in our full year press release.
So it's 80, right?
80, yeah, 80. Yeah,
because on Bloomberg it's 18.18.
Then it was misquoted.
Yeah, okay.
No, then 18 would definitely be on the low side.
Okay. Thank you very much, Geraldine.
You're welcome.
Next question, Martin Rudiger of Kepler Cheuvreux. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Just two left. On materials, just to follow up here, how did the demand evolve in April, and what is your perception on order intake for May in your materials segment? And the second question is on the vitamin C demand within human nutrition, where you have not been able to deliver sufficiently volumes in Q4, and you made good for that in Q1. What was the main driver for this demand in vitamin C? Is it a difference in terms of regions, in China more active here in demand in contrast, for example, to Europe? Or is it a difference in terms of the end markets, food and beverage versus pharmaceuticals? Maybe you can elaborate here where the demand is coming from. Thanks.
Hi, Martin. Thanks for those questions. So as you know, it's always unwise to comment on the next quarter rather than Q1. But in short, I can say that we're not seeing any big change in pattern in April versus what we had in Q1. So that's really as much as I can say there on your first question. And for vitamin C, I mean, hopefully I was clear there. It's not actually a demand shift. It's just a supply. So if you recall, we had a longer shutdown last year. We combined it to do a number of maintenance, et cetera. And as a result, we just basically we're not able to physically deliver on the normal sort of sales pattern. So it's more of a cutoff than a shift in demand. So there's nothing more there, really.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Next question, Andrew Benson of Citi. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks. Morning, everyone. Although most questions have been asked. In the associates, can you give us any sort of full year guidance? You've got, when you split up the associates, you also include an sort of an others line. So a little bit of clarity and help on associates would be great. Innovation, you talk about the price mix impact. And perhaps if you could just clarify that a bit. And is there any update on Green Ocean? Thanks.
Good morning, Andrew. Sorry, I'm just jolting down Green Ocean. So maybe I'll start actually with Green Ocean, because this was indeed a nice announcement to be able to put forward during the first quarter. So as you know, this is our joint project with Evonik. So the announcement went out that we're going ahead and building the plant. So that's about 200 million capex together. So then it will be a 50-50 split of that, and that will be over 3 years. So it was a big milestone, and of course it was confirming to the end market that we are going ahead and will be providing this to the aquaculture industry. So all good there, and very well received, I have to say, post the investment. So that is great. Now, in terms of our innovation, the developments are, as you know, we have different pieces in there. What you're probably referring to is the fact that we have a negative price mix in the top-line development of our innovation center. That is actually a biomedical where we have lost some sales with a big client. Primarily, it was a pricing adjustment, and we're working our way through that. Now, the good news is that the rest of the business is doing very well, and that we will be seeing a positive development in the following quarters this year. So that's really that piece. And then the question on associates. Now, of course, it's very difficult to give any guidance. As you know, in there, we've got a lot of partners, and we can't really provide a firm guidance on the overall associate figure.
Which is only probably I'm wrong here in my memory, but you'd split it all up and you'd got a little sort of loss in sort of other associates, and I was just wondering what that represented, and if that was a one-off or something more sustainable either.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of different pieces in there. You know, we're involved in a number of other joint activities, of course, below 50%, otherwise they wouldn't be associates. And in there, there's actually quite a list of them, so it's quite fragmented. There's not something in particular that I can pinpoint. I've got the list in front of me, and it's probably 10 different items. So really nothing that's worthy of individually being mentioned.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Next question, Paul W. Walls, Morgan Stanley. Go ahead, please.
Thanks very much. Morning, Geraldine. Morning, Dave. Just some questions around materials, please. Can you just let us know how much specialties is now as a percentage of the materials business and the extent to which that is or isn't growing above the segment average? Sounds like it's doing very well. And also, can you just elaborate a little bit more in terms of the volume growth in materials? Is it primarily autos, or is it sort of more broad-based than that? And geographically, you know, is it China going gangbusters, or again, is it a bit more broader than that? Thank you.
Hi, Paul. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe firstly with the underlying markets, what we're seeing is pretty much a robust situation in Europe. Automotive, you know, we were wondering how the year was going to pan out, but what we're seeing, particularly Europe and North America, is that it's holding up nicely. China does have the local incentives, so that is also okay. So auto firm. What we're seeing clearly is construction, building and construction in Europe. There we're seeing an uptick. And another big driver for us, as you know, is actually the enforcement of environmental regulations in China that is continuing to support the transition from solvent-based to waterborne. A very important, strong momentum there in our resins business. So if you combine that with actually Dyneema benefiting from quite a strong demand in law enforcement, so life-saving, that is doing well as well. actually also a bit of an uptick in marine, which is interesting, commercial marine. We are really seeing that all our specialty components of the materials businesses are doing well. Now, the percentage of specialties, I would have to look actually how to carve it out and give you a number around that. But one thing is clear is that the growth is really coming from that part of the portfolio, which is, of course, helping us drive the bottom line as well.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Okay, we're running out of time. So one last question, and then we have to close off this call. So who has the last question?
Last question comes from Gunther Zechmann of Bernstein. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. Thanks. I've got a couple. Firstly, on the calendar effect, you mentioned on the timing of the orders in animal and in human nutrition. Can you also specifically say if you've seen an Easter effect in terms of working days because of the shift where we had Easter this year versus last year? And if so, if you could quantify that. And the second one, following up on the innovation price mix effect, just to clarify, you said there was a loss of sales from a big client, but wouldn't we see that on the volume line, or is that something where you cut your prices and you kept that contract? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Two clarifications. Yeah, I have seen a number of comments coming through on other earnings reports on Easter cutoff. I have to say, while it's true that it does shift by a couple of days, etc., for us, given our international footprint, I can't say that it has an overwhelming effect. So we didn't spell it out here. And in terms of biomedical, it's actually a combination. So it's partly down in terms of volume of sales, but also a big price adjustment. So you're actually seeing that it's a little bit both. So in fact, the underlying volume growth of the rest of the business is stronger than what we're showing here. But the main pricing effect is coming from that one client, and that's what I was trying to clarify.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, that's it then for the Q&A. Geraldine, do you want to make some closing remarks?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Well, first of all, thank you for your time as usual. I think in short, as you can see, Q1 has been a very good start of the year in pretty much all of our businesses with good growth overall. We remain fully focused on executing the strategy and our improvement programs, and with that, are confident to deliver our full-year guidance. Now, finally, I would like to use this opportunity to highlight that we will have an investor seminar in 2017 in Rotterdam, and I point you to our slide 20, where you can see there the heads-up slide, and we hope to see most of you there. And with that, Dave, I hand over to you.
Thank you, Geraldine. This concludes our conference call for today. Thank you very much for your attention and your questions. If you have any further questions or need background information, please feel free to contact us. With that, I now hand the call back to the operator. Operator?
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.